Hello and welcome to the Wheel of Crime podcast. This podcast is run by two ladies who play games, mumble profanities, and laugh way too often. Also, this podcast does cover topics of sensitive nature, and as such, listener discretion is advised.
Hello. And welcome back to the Wheel of Crime podcast. My name is Jen.
And my name is Emily. Yes, it is another beautiful week in sunny, sunny Alberta. Yes?
Yeah, I guess so. It's been raining in my neck of the woods, like, every day.
That's pretty nice. I would love more rain, but my neck of the woods is pretty divisive on what it wants, so that's nice.
Yeah, we've had, like, thunderstorms pretty much every day. Like, it's been a lot of afternoon thunderstorms,
okay.
Which makes me sad because I'm not, like...
outside in the afternoon?
Because then I have to be at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't get to enjoy them.
See, we just get the thunder during the day, which of course scares the absolute bejeebus out of my cats, so they hide in the closet all day. And then it only rains at nighttime, and then during the day it's just like weirdly sunny, which is probably preferential for a lot of people, but not for me.
I know. I want it to be lightning and thunderstorms and raining all day.
Literally. I was telling my husband, I was like, I just wanted to like... torrential downpour for a week, and he's like, you don't really want that, and I'm like, I actually really do. I really do want that.
I mean, you live lakeside, so I don't know if you actually want,
right? That's why that. I think that's why he would say that. He's like, so you're asking for a flood, probably not a great idea. And I'm just like, let it rain. The rain healing energy.
I know, the smell of like a fresh rain. Oh, nothing better.
Oh, it's peak.
Nothing better.
Yep. Well, Jen, how's your last week been? Anything you want to share with the listeners that you in your cool, fun, and fancy life?
No. I was telling Emily, this week has been weirdly calm at work, and I'm like, what's going on? I don't feel stressed enough. Like, what's happening here? It's making me more nervous that I'm not more stressed.
Yeah, you're like, my anxiety about there being nothing is only increasing every day that passes. This peace is an illusion.
This peace is making me nervous. I'm scared.
Oh, God. Whereas for me, I feel like I've aged like 20 years in the last few days, so it's been a rough week so far. But hey, yeah. At least like we're getting inching closer to summer, at least, where hopefully people will be happier and life will be good once again, is what I'm manifesting.
Yeah. See, I'm excited for summer, but like also, I'm just really looking forward to the fall.
You're like, the summer's coming, which means it'll soon be fall.
I just love fall. It's the best time of the year.
It literally
lasts way too short.
4 weeks for us.
I know, but it's the best 4 weeks.
But it's the happiest 4 weeks of the year.
I'm just in such peace when it's fall.
I know. Oh, God, that's funny.
And I'll be done this stupid show.
And life will
and
be
everything
good.
Will be better.
Once again. That's really funny. Hey, and you'll be getting married this fall.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know, I was looking at our schedule, actually, for the next few months, like, just for the podcast. And I'm like, huh, I don't know how we're gonna... do all that, but
it'll
neat.
Find its way. Everything finds a way, one way or another. But
yes.
Let's see for myself. If have I been up to anything cool, fun, or interesting? I bought, I think, like 15 plants for my house recently. And
nice.
I wrangled my bicycle out of my parents' garage one day because I had high hopes, only to get it here and find that both of the tires are like completely flat. And so
oh, no.
Well, my next thing has been to convince my husband to bring an air compressor or whatever from work. But then every single night he's like, oh, remind me again tomorrow. But like, I'm not thinking about bicycling while I'm working. That's what crazy people do. So like the end of the day comes and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to get air for that bicycle. And I'll send him a message and he's like, oh, I'm already on my way home. And I'm like, dang, nabbit, another day come and gone.
Oh man. Well, I was gonna say I could fill up your tires for you, but I think I'm further away than he is.
You are absolutely further away than I am. It would take you much longer to do that. But the sentiment is there. I feel it. Yes. Oh, and then I also accidentally drank fertilizer water recently. So if I get like horrifically sick in the next week or like my skin turns green, you'll know why.
How? Why?
It's the dumbest thing ever. So I recently bought, so you know, okay, this is very relevant to the 15 plants that I bought, okay? So I was convinced, oh boy, after buying these like 15 plants that I need fertilizer, okay? Because a couple of them are like a little bit older and are definitely like lacking in nutrients, I think. A little bit spindly, mm-hmm, and pale green. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat these plants. I am going to provide them with fertilizer nutrients. So I bought this like jug of fertilizer. I have the offending item actually right here for you.
Okay.
So it's like a liquid. And the point is that you just put like a little bit of it in with water and then you just like water your plant regularly and it like is like fertilizer water. So I was like, ah, oh, cool. What a neat trick. So I did all that. Okay. Then, mm-hmm, I forgot to wash the pitcher out afterwards, refilled it with water, and then put it directly in my coffee pot.
Emily. Did it taste awful?
It was highly suspicious, dude, because I could not figure out what I did at first, because, like, I did, like, the fertilizer project in the evening, and then, like, I fell asleep, and of course, I have the brain of a goldfish, so when I woke up, I was like, oh, look, a new day. And then I like go to make my coffee and I'm like smelling it and I'm like, it must be all that chlorine in the water. It's a little stanky. And I drank it anyways.
Fucking A, man.
Me and the water at this new place have got some personal beef. It's been nonstop, dude, that I've been having problems with the water.
We just need to cut off your taps, like, no more. You're gonna be dehydrated, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, you are going to turn into a dusty, crusty skeleton, but it has to be this way.
It does.
The only water
I'm calling it now.
I can trust is Starbucks water, because that's what they make my coffee with.
Even that's dicey at this point.
Right.
You'll find some sort of way to infect it.
Oh, probably. It does seem to be a trend lately, but for now, I am still here. And that was like 2 days ago, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Well, you're not dead yet, so
the key word being
fingers crossed.
All right. Should we get into our wheel of questions here so we can figure out what your story is today?
Yes, let's spin.
Number 3.
Did you have any weird obsessions as a kid?
As a kid? Oh, lots of them. I had a whole thing for a long time, still kind of do, about collecting rocks specifically. Like, I was that rock kid, mm-hmm, who'd be out there picking through the sand and be like, look, I found a shiny one. I think it's pyrite.
You know what? So funny. I was the exact same kid.
So there is a reason we ended up being friends. I quite literally remember in grade 4 having like a geology book that was like clearly for children because it was like paper thin, but it like showed like a few pages of like big rocks and they're like, oh, this is what fool's gold looks like. And I'd be like showing people pictures and be like, I'm on the hunt for gold. You know where I can find any? As if I'm, like, some
entrepreneur.
Literally, like, I'm some kind of, like, old-timey prospector. I'm like, show me the gold! In grade 4.
Literally, me and my family went on vacation to, like, one of the beaches around our hometown, when I was in elementary school, and me and my one friend collected the coolest rocks we could find and then tried to sell them.
Nice. You see,
it didn't make a lot of profit. I'm not going to lie. It was not a very poppin' business, but we really thought we were doing something.
See, but at least, like, you had, like, the entrepreneur mindset. Mine was just to hoard them, like some kind of rock goblin, until my mom eventually was like, why are your drawers breaking, and moved all of my socks, and it's just rocks in my drawers.
I love that.
Oh god, what else did I collect? I quite literally was like a goblin child. I would collect like anything shiny too that I would like find in the streets, like a magpie. What else did I like broken pieces of necklaces. I'm like, oh, this is treasure. Oh god, I don't know. I had so many childhood obsessions, dude. There was like a point of time in like grade 5. Specifically, I remember this because I collected these like books about snakes, and like my hyperfixation for that entire year was just anything and everything about snakes. I don't know why. I think they're cool and I like them well enough, and like they're like, I think that they're like a fun pet to have for people who are into that. But like, Emily today is not the Emily from grade 5. Emily from grade 5 could have told you everything she knew about snakes.
You know what? That's impressive. You had that snake trivia in your back pocket, and I'm telling you, one day that's going to come in handy.
Right, I'm going to be at, like, a Jeopardy night, and it's like, what's the kind of snake that burrows in the ground? And I'd be like, oh, I know this one. It's a blank because I don't know it right now.
You got to brush up.
Yeah, I got to brush up on my snake trivia. Oh, gosh, what else? Oh, yeah. Very much hyperfixated on Pokemon, also specifically, for a long time.
Yeah, I remember that one. And I remember when we were in middle school, you loved Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, like, that's one of those things where both Pokemon and Legend of Zelda, because they're video game series, it's just, like, every time they release a new game, I'm like, ooh, a new trinket to add to my collection.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I'm a crazy person. Was there...
I already knew that.
Was there anything else that you did as a child other than rocks?
I don't know. I was very... I think it came from my dad, but I was, like, obsessed with learning about World War II from a young age. And, like, I remember in the fourth grade, I asked for the Diary of Anne Frank because I really wanted to read that book. And I was just, like, obsessed with it. And I was also obsessed with scrapbooking.
Oh, scrapbooking, I remember, because you always try to get me into it. Oh, and photography, because they kind of, like, went hand in hand.
Yeah, I was very obsessed with photography for a long time. And then I'm trying to think what else.
I had no idea about the World War II. That is fascinating, especially since I was like in the military program as a kid. You were like, ooh, she must know things about World War II.
I literally loved learning about World War II. I was just like, I would learn every fact I could. I would watch documentaries, and like, I feel like my parents were a little like, maybe this is weird.
They probably were thinking, if we let this continue, she's going to join the military. I can feel it in my bones.
Literally. You would not catch me joining the military now. Like, it's, you know, thank you for your service, if that's you. But not for me. I don't think I would do very well. I think they would be like, you are the opposite of what we want. You need to leave.
Yeah, you need to leave. That's really funny. Oh, God.
And I was obsessed with pink.
Oh, I do.
The color pink.
I do also remember the pink thing, because your walls were pink, and your clothes were pink, and your scrapbooks were pink.
Everything was pink. I remember, like, you would look at my wardrobe, and I think every piece of clothing I owned was pink, except for, like, two items. And whenever I gotta, like, go shopping for new school clothes, my mom would be like, okay, you have to pick out at least one thing that's not pink.
See, one of my favorite outfits I remember you wearing was, like, your gold sparkly top with your pink leggings. Classic.
Yeah, the gold sparkly top was my one non-pink thing that I bought that year, and it was atrocious.
I would love to look back into your mom's mind and just wonder, and I just want to know what she was thinking in that minute that you picked out the gold sparkly top. I just want to know.
Imagine what she was thinking when I came downstairs showing her what I was planning on wearing to picture day, and it was a gold sparkly top, hot pink leggings, and like pink shoes with like a pink cardigan.
She was like, yas, girl, slay.
Oh, no. Right. She was probably like, my daughter, psychopath, loves World War II. Not loves, but like obsessed with learning about World War II and pink.
Oh god, we could talk about this forever. We should spin for our next question.
Did you ever go to a cemetery with your friends as a kid? Like,
I did not.
Because you know how like some... You know how some kids, like, in the movies is what I'm kind of thinking? Like, you go to the cemetery. And
yeah, with your Luigi board, and you do some spooky things and scare each other. I genuinely never went to the cemetery as a kid with any other kids. I remember vaguely there was a girl that we were in middle school with that was trying really hard to get a group of people to bring a Luigi board to a cemetery for, like, her birthday or something. And I was like, homie, that's not fucking happening. Even I know you don't trust the Luigi boards.
Yeah. I remember that because I was...
one of the people invited. I remember.
Yeah. But I did not. I was like, actually, I'm going to pass.
Right? And I remember her, like, describing the cemetery that she wanted to go to. And I was like, my timbers are a little too shivered for this experience. Try with somebody braver.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, God. Yeah. All right, let's spin for our next question.
Okay.
I totally forgot to ask you if you ever went to the cemetery as a kid.
Sure didn't.
Okay, cool. We're all
absolutely not.
Sounds like we're on the same page regardless. But it's question number two.
How old were you when you had your first kiss?
Oh, God. I think I was 15? 14? I just remember it being terrible. I have no idea how old I was. I just remember it being awful.
Yeah, I remember mine, I think, was in the 9th grade, and it was with a boy, like, his, during the winter, I was on a co-ed soccer team with, like, boys and girls or whatever, and so it was in, like, February or something, and it was with this boy on my soccer team, and all I remember... is that his lips were as dry as the Sahara Desert.
Oh, dude, I would have taken the Sahara Desert in any way, shape, or form over what I added as experience, okay? I'm 100% sure I've told you this story before because it's traumatizing, but mine was with a bagpiper at summer camp, so literally band camp, okay? So that's a bad start. Second of all, it was literally like this guy... was like, yeah, I'm like, I think I like you. And I was like, cool, you're like cute, I guess. And he's like, you want a kiss? And I was like, sure. But when I tell you, I don't even think this person had ever seen another human being. Like, I don't think he'd ever seen humans kiss, period. Like, at all in his life.
No.
Because he literally came in and then licked with like, bleh, like one swipe across both of my lips. And then picked my top lip. And then sucked on it like he was trying to give me a hickey on my lip. And it was, what I tell you, I was embarrassed for him. And, like, I literally did not speak to this boy for the rest of the summer camp experience. And we were there for, like, 3 weeks, okay? So for the rest of, like, the 2 weeks or, like, week and a half or whatever, however long there was, I did not make eye contact with this person. I did not talk to this person. It was over. I was like, whatever you just did. Ruined everything.
You fucked it up, dude.
Like, beyond. And it was so weird for me, too, because I remember being like, have you just, like, never watched a movie? Like, I grew up as somebody who didn't really, like, know anything about, like, what was going on, like, on media at all. But I for sure knew how people were supposed to kiss. And I was like, that is not it. I think you've only ever seen dogs kiss. And that's what I've learned.
Did you learn from Lady and the Tramp? Because that's what I think.
Literally, I was like, I don't understand. It has to be a joke.
That is awful. Yeah, I remember, like, his lips were literally so dry. Like, they were cracked. Like, you know when someone's lips are, like, cracking because they're so dry? Yeah. And it, like, crunchy is, like, the best, only way I know how to describe it.
Crunchy child lips. So gross. So gross. Okay, we have to move on. I feel nauseous. I think we have one question left, right?
Yeah, one question left.
Cool, I can't take any much more of this. Alright, give it to me. What do we got?
Could you ever agree to an arranged marriage?
If I was super lonely and they seemed cute and smart enough, perhaps. Most likely, probably not, though.
Okay, but, like, you're a woman, so the most likely thing to happen is that you're getting married off quite young.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm thinking from the manly perspective because we live in a patriarchal society where men get to choose things. As a woman, no. If I could choose and, like, gather my trophy husband of choice, yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Fair.
All right, what about you?
I couldn't. I'm too picky.
You're like, I'm a lover at heart and I'm too picky, which are both very valid reasons.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, like, dislike most men, so I just feel like I wouldn't get along with that man.
See,
I don't know who he is, but any arranged marriage man, we wouldn't get along.
That is fair, but see, in my mind, if I was in an arranged marriage, it would be 5 men who are arranged to marry me, and then I just gotta pick and choose whoever I like that day.
I like the vibes of what you're going for, but it feels a little unrealistic.
I know, it's unrealistic. This is like, this is assuming we live in a perfect society where we could just collect people. Then I would collect 5 husbands, and I would live in my own house. And then when I want to visit them, I go to their house. But then nobody's allowed in my house.
Yes, unless you're, like, feeling saucy and you invite one of them over for, like, a couple hours, but then they have to leave. They can't stay.
Not even in my house. I'm like, nah, we're getting a hotel. No men in my house allowed. On the porch! Perhaps, I don't know, maybe fictional Emily's into this.
I guess we'll never know. We'll
never know. Oh god, that's funny. I'm really trying to think about what the hell your story's about. You're
literally never gonna guess.
Some guy is obsessed with rocks, and so he gives the prettiest rock to this, like, girl who, or, like, person who he, like, shares his first kiss with, and somebody gets murdered. That's all I got.
Not even close.
Cool. All right, well, let me have it then. What is our story today?
All right, so today we're gonna say some very hard words, so I apologize in advance. My Russian, not very good, just gonna preface with this.
As if I'm much better when I read my stories, but the apologies are always accepted.
Yes, so today we're gonna talk about Anatoly Moskin, and he was born on September 1st, 1966, in the city of Georgi in Soviet Russia, which was what was then Soviet Russia, I should specify, now known as
Nizhny Novgorod
region. And as a schoolboy, Anatoly began wandering through cemeteries with friends, particularly the Krenzana Etna Cemetery. I'm struggling already. Oh my god.
Take a couple deep breaths. The city's, you can make it.
Leninsky District. In his childhood, he had a big interest in death, which he later attributed to witnessing a funeral procession for an 11-year-old girl named Natasha Petrova. and Anatoly alleged that he was stopped by a group of guys in black suits on the way home from school. They pulled him along to the burial and forced him to kiss the dead girl's face, saying that, quote, an adult, and he said that, quote, an adult pushed my face down to the waxy forehead of the girl in an embroidered cap, and there was nothing I could do but kiss her as ordered. He said, quote, I kissed her once, then twice, then three times. After he kissed her, the distraught mother of Natasha then placed a wedding band on Anatoly's finger and another on her daughter. Anatoly said that this odd marriage to Natasha had been beneficial, strange for sure, but he claimed that it finally resulted in a fascination with the dead and a belief in magic.
You've given me a lot of different intros to all these stories you provide for me. This has got to be one of the weirdest ones, dude. So hang on. I'm just going to like recap real quick here.
It gets weirder.
No, I'm just going to recap real quick. So basically, Anatoly, back in old Russia, was made to kiss a dead girl thrice. And then...
Yep.
And then the mother is like, oh, you are now married. And he's like, this is my new obsession.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Correct.
And also there's magic involved. Okay, just wanted to make sure I was caught up on what is happening right now.
No, he just believes in magic because of this experience. Oh, so okay, that's cool. Just a whole separate.
But what was the magical part? I'm missing where the magic was.
I was trying to figure it out and I genuinely don't know, but he like literally wrote an article about this experience and he was like, yes, this moment made me fascinated with death and believe in magic. No explanation. And I'm like,
okay, sure. Fascinated with death, I guess. Believe in magic. So like, was her hat magical? Like, what part was the magical part?
TBD. I have no idea.
Yep, to be determined. As it is. All right.
So, after graduating from the philological faculty of Moscow State University, Anatoly became well-known in academic circles. His main areas of academic interest were Celtic history and folklore.
Those seem like valid interests.
Just very random from this man. As well as languages and linguistics. Anatoly had a deep interest in cemeteries, burial rituals, death, and the occult. He spoke 13 languages, wrote several books, papers, and translations. He kept a personal library of over 60,000 books and documents, as well as a large doll collection, which we're coming back to.
Friggin' dolls, man. They're coming back.
You have no idea.
Ooh, wait, can I take a guess? I don't know anything about this man, but since you're like putting emphasis on dolls and death, can I take one guess?
You may.
Does this man take dead people and turn them into dolls, and or kill people and turn them into dolls?
I guess we'll
find out. You motherfucker, he totally does. You buried the lead, you sicko. And I love you for it. Okay, anyways, let's hear it.
I'll just give this little spoiler. This case is well known as the House of Dolls case.
Okay. I mean, I know I'm right now. I just don't know anything about it.
Yeah, unfortunately. So fellow academics described Anatoly as both a genius and eccentric. As an adult, Anatoly led a secluded life. He never married or dated, and he preferred to live with his parents. He abstained from drinking alcohol, smoking, and is a virgin. Still.
Clean on all fronts, I suppose.
Yeah, he's like, nope, I don't need none of that bullshit. Like
a big old nerd who's obsessed with some cool random things. That's all I know.
Yes. So for a time, Anatoly worked as a lecturer in Celtic studies at his local linguistics university. He previously worked at the Institute of Foreign Languages, and he also occasionally worked as a journalist and regularly contributed to local newspapers and publications. He was considered to be an expert on local cemeteries in his home region. So in 2005, Oleg Rybov, a fellow academic and publisher, commissioned Anatoly to summarize the list and or to summarize and list the dead in more than 700 cemeteries in 40 regions. Anatoly claimed that over the next 2 years, he had gone on foot to inspect 752 cemeteries across the region, walking up to 30 kilometers a day. During these travels, he drank from puddles, spent nights in haystacks and at abandoned farms, or slept in the cemeteries themselves, even going so far as to spend the night in a coffin being prepared for a funeral.
I just know for a fact if this man was raw dogging puddles, he had to have had the worst diarrhea known to mankind. E. coli up the wazoo. There's no way.
Literally, it's like you drinking your fertilizer water. Like, I don't know what else to say.
You know what? You're not that far off. I was actually looking after I mentioned that at the ingredients, because I was like, I should probably find out what I slurped on here in my more recent days. And it's not good. It looks like it's just like byproduct of a bunch of like weeds. So we'll see what happens.
Maybe you're going to grow weeds in your tummy like Anatoly.
Yep, exactly. Weed E. coli. Weed Oli.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
So on his extensive travels, Anatoly was sometimes questioned by police on the suspicion of vandalism and theft, but was never arrested or detained after stating his academic credentials and purpose. The work itself remained unpublished to this day, but has been described as quote-unquote unique and priceless by Alexei Yesin, the editor of the local paper to which Anatoly was a regular contributor. Between 2006 and 2010, Anatoly worked as a freelance correspondent for the newspaper, publishing articles twice a month, and his father also sometimes wrote for the same paper. During 2008, Anatoly wrote an extensive series of articles on the history of the Nizhny Novgorod cemeteries that appeared in the paper. Now, during all his research and time spent writing articles on cemeteries, Anatoly started doing some questionable things during his travels.
I can only imagine what a man who's been loitering in cemeteries and drinking puddle water might be doing that is questionable and strange. I can only imagine.
Yes. So when he wasn't drinking puddle water,
or plucking hay out of his ear holes.
He said he felt great sympathy for dead children and thought that they could be brought back to life by either science or black magic. As an expert on Celtic culture, Anatoly learned that the ancient Druids slept on graves in order to communicate with spirits of their dead. He also studied culture of the people of Siberia, in particular the ancient Yakuts, and discovered that they had similar practice for communicating with the dead. Anatoly began searching for obituaries of recently deceased children. When he found an obituary that quote-unquote spoke to him, he would sleep on the child's grave in order to determine if the spirit wished to be brought back to life. He claimed that he had been doing this for around 20 years and insisted that when he began, he never dug up a grave without the permission of the child within. The dead child within.
Okay. This is like as he ghost adjacent. He's like, yes, they visited me on the astral plane as I slept on their grave. And it's like, okay. Okay, all right. Okay.
As he grew older, it became physically painful for him to sleep on the graves, so he began bringing the bodies home where it would be more comfortable to sleep near them.
Oh, shut up. He did not.
He did?
He did not yoink children's bodies from their graves because he's like, the ground hurts my back, so I'm bringing y'all home with me.
The ground hurts my back and I need something other than puddle water.
There's a rock in the back of my head. I'm taking you home. This is ridiculous.
He hoped the spirits would be more willing to speak in his safe, welcoming home and that they might be easier to hear when they were no longer underground.
See, this is when the children's spirits or essences or whatever he's talking to would then be like, this guy's a creep. I don't think I want to talk to him anymore. He took me to his house. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Stranger danger.
Bring me home to my nice cold earth.
Exactly. So after exhuming the corpses, Anatoly researched mummification theories and techniques in an attempt to preserve the bodies. He dried the corpses using a combination of salt and baking soda and then cached the bodies in a secure dry places dry places in and around cemeteries. Once the bodies dried, he carried them to his home, where he used various methods to make dolls in an attempt to give the children functional bodies to be used when he eventually discovered a way to bring them back to life, feeling their physical remains were too decayed and ugly for them to feel comfortable or happy.
I have so many thoughts. First of all, I love how he's like, we're going to use black magic to bring them back, but they're going to be self-conscious because they're ugly as fuck. So I'm going to give them a deluxe makeover. This man is so unhinged. I don't even know where to start. He's just like, well, they're cold and ugly. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Give them Barbie legs, obviously.
Oh my god, literally. So, unable to prevent the bodies from withering and shrinking as they dried, he would wrap the limbs in strips of cloth and stuff the body cavity with rags and padding to provide fullness, sometimes adding wax masks decorated with nail polish all over the faces before dressing them in brightly colored children's clothes and wigs. These details made the bodies appear to be large homemade dolls, which prevented their discovery. It was unclear if each doll contained a full set of human remains. Anatoly was aware that he was committing a crime, but he felt that the dead children were calling out to be rescued, and he believed that resurrecting the children was more important than obeying the law. He was also motivated by his own desire to have children, specifically a daughter. Anatoly often regretted that he never had children and at one point attempted to adopt a young girl against the wishes of his parents, whom I might remind you he is still living with at this time.
Wait a minute. Did you just say he's still living with his parents?
Yes.
Oh, fuck off. He's not. They just are like, yeah, my son's sleeping in the woods and like... whatever, that's just a thing that he does. Oh my god.
We'll get to the comments from the parents later, but
also I'm not really sure if this is like a particular brand of psychosis or like exactly what's going on here, but it feels very particularly strange to me that he wants to adopt specifically a female child.
Yes, that is something that I also found quite interesting and also a little disturbing.
It's a little sus. I'm not saying that, like, he had particular thoughts in mind, but I am saying that when people are hyper-focused on a particular gender of somebody who is a minor, that usually means something else.
Yeah. Thankfully, his application was declined due to his low income, and Anatoly denied any sexual attraction to the dolls and instead considered them to be his children.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to and interacted with the corpses, sang songs to them, watched cartoons with them, and even held birthday parties and celebrated holidays for their benefit.
Okay.
So, locals started finding graves that belonged to their loved ones desecrated, sometimes fully dug up, And in 2009, a spokesperson for the Russian Interior Ministry said that in the beginning, quote, "Our main belief was that it was done by certain extremist organizations. We made the decision to expand our police forces and form teams made up of our most seasoned investigators who focus on crimes committed by extremists," which is hilarious to me because they're like, this must be terrorism. And meanwhile, it's just some man drinking puddle water.
He's just, they're like, yeah, no, it's just this lunatic who lives with his mother and steals these bodies to watch cartoons with them and drink puddle water. This just, I don't even know where to start with this.
I can't. But the Interior Ministry's leads fizzled out after almost 2 years. No one could figure out why graves kept getting vandalized. And after a terrorist assault in 2011, Moscow's airport, the inquiry took a rest. Soon after, the local police received complaints of Muslim graves being vandalized, and investigators were directed to a cemetery where someone had painted over the images of a Muslim deceased people while causing no other damage. Anatoly was ultimately apprehended here. After catching him at the Muslim cemetery, 8 police officers proceeded to his flat to collect evidence. He was arrested on November 2nd, 2011 by police, and investigators from the Center for Combating Extremism discovered 26 bodies, initially reported as 29, in Anatoly's flat and garage. 26 bodies that he made into dolls.
Even one is too much. I cannot believe that he robbed 26 graves and watched cartoons with these, like, children's bodies and just nobody pieced it together. I bet you his parents were just didn't even want to go anywhere near his room. They're like, I don't know, he does weird shit in there. I don't want to find out what it is. He's got 26 dolls in there. Who knows what they're for?
Literally. So video released by police shows the bodies seated on shelves and sofas in small rooms full of books, papers, and general clutter. Although only 26 bodies were discovered at his home, Anatoly was suspected of desecrating as many as 150 graves after police found numerous grave adornments, such as metal nameplates removed from headstones, and police also discovered instructions for making the dolls, maps of cemeteries in the region, and a collection of photographs and videos depicting open graves and disinterred bodies, although none of this evidence could be conclusively connected to any of the bodies found in the apartment.
See, that's spooky. And, like, you know, not making light of any of this, I just find this man completely bonkerly unhinged. But I can't even imagine from the perspective of, like, a parent where you've had to bury a child, which is already horrifically sad. And then you find out this motherfucker has been ripping up graves and turning them into dolls and keeping them in his house. Like, I would be... That is, like, I can't even imagine what I would feel like because the whole thing is just horrifying. But, like, just even the act itself is, on many layers, just foul, you know?
Very foul, indeed, and just, like, very unhinged as well.
It's almost unbelievable. Like, everything you've told me so far, I'm like, you can't be serious. Like, that's not a real thing. Because you think in your head, and you're like, who would do that? But obviously somebody did.
Anatoly's mother, Elvira, who was 76 at the time, recalled, quote, "We saw these dolls, but we did not realize there were dead people inside. We saw nothing improper with making such large dolls since we felt it was his passion."
Ah.
Like, this is, they knew. This they is knew, such... and they were just like, we can't deal with this.
Well, I'm not even sure that they knew that... I believe them when they say that they were pretty... They didn't know that they were, like, bodies, per se. But I love how they were like, oh, we just didn't really think much of it. Because, you know, that's like his special interest. I find that is such a parent thing to say when your kid is doing something really fucking weird. and you don't really have the words for it. And you're just like, yeah, that's just, it's just, a, you know, like they make big dolls. It's a fine. It's a fine.
That's just an Anatoly thing.
Yeah, it's just a him thing. He's not like going out to the bar. He's just at home watching cartoons with his big dolls. It's fine. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Oh, God.
So, according to the investigation, the bodies primarily came from cemeteries in the region, though some of them may have come from as far away as Moscow. Anatoly actively cooperated with investigators and claimed he made the dolls over the course of 10 years.
That's a long time. That's a long time to be sleeping on the ground and drinking puddle water.
Literally.
He made a career out of that.
He did make a career out of it.
Literally.
His parents, who were away for large portions of the year, were unaware of his activities. Anatoly was charged under Article 244 of the Criminal Code for the desecration of graves and dead bodies, a charge which carried up to 5 years in prison. Originally, Anatoly was also accused of having to face the graves of Muslims, considered a hate crime, but this charge was later dropped. After his arrest, Alexia Yesen, his former editor at the newspaper, stated that he was confident there was a mistake and that Anatoly would be exonerated. However, later on, Alexei would go on to tell the Associated Press that Anatoly was a loner who had quote-unquote certain quirks, but who gave no indication that he was up to anything unusual.
Well, yeah, because I feel like when you're at Anatoly's level of, like, bizarro rationalization, he wouldn't be thinking that's weird, so there wouldn't be a reason for him to be acting weirder than he already probably was.
People were just like, that's just who he is. He's just a little bit of a weirdo.
Yep, there goes Anatoly back in the shitter
drinking the puddle water again.
You know him. Oops.
God. So, after a psychiatric evaluation, it was determined that Anatoly had a form of paranoid schizophrenia, and in a hearing on May 25th, 2012, the Leniskisky District Court deemed Anatoly unfit to stand trial, releasing him from criminal liability. He was instead sentenced to coercive medical measures, and the prosecution was satisfied with the decision and did not appeal the verdict. Anatoly was moved to a psychiatric clinic with his stay to be reviewed regularly. In February 2013, a hearing approved an extension of his treatment. Anatoly's treatment was again extended in April 2014 and yet again in July 2015. In 2014, a spokesman stated, quote, "After 3 years of monitoring him in psychiatric clinic, it is absolutely clear that Anatoly is not mentally fit for trial. He will therefore be kept for psychiatric treatment at the clinic." In 2016, it was reported that Anatoly planned to marry a 25-year-old from his hometown who attended his trial. However, a bunch of the info about his future wife was all in Russian, and I do not speak Russian, so...
But is he not already married to, like, this dead girl? Or is that, like, no longer a thing?
I don't know.
I don't think you can divorce like dead people if you were married post-mortem. I feel like that's not a thing.
I feel like it was an unofficial marriage.
It was a marriage in spirit and symbolism.
Yeah, pretty much. In September 2018, Anatoly's doctor stated that he was no longer dangerous and petitioned the court to release him for outpatient care from home. However, in February 2019, a subsequent psychiatric evaluation found that it was too early to release Anatoly, and the hospital withdrew their petition. And that is the end of Mr. Puddlewater.
Do you think he lost his marbles before or after the Puddlewater, though? Because it seems like he didn't start making these dolls until after the Puddlewater, so I'm a little hazy on that detail.
Like, it's a little hazy about whether or not he started, like, because he said he'd been making them for, like, 10 years. So he must have been doing this for a while, like.
So this must be pre-Puddlewater, then.
It could have been pre-Puddlewater. I'm suspicious.
To be determined. Well, That's wild, man. I've never, ever, 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 ever heard about this story. I can't even believe that. That 100% sounds like something that, like, somebody would write in a book and you're like, oh, that's really fucked up. That couldn't be real. How bizarre.
It is so bizarre. When I was researching this case, I was like, you should look up the dolls. They're something else.
Oh. Oh, weird. I can totally see why people didn't think that these were, like, actual bodies of children. They just look like old dolls.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
Yeah. Oh, the one I'm looking at is, she, like, is dressed in, like, a, like, Russian-looking snowsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is so
See, bizarre. I've had this story prepared for a while. So when you were talking about the dolls, I think it was, I don't know if it was last week or like a couple stories ago. I think it was last week when we did Annabelle,
yeah.
Yeah, this was all I was thinking about.
Yeah, no, because they're doing a side-by-side, in the picture I'm talking about, they're doing a side-by-side comparison between the child who died that they were able to prove that like the doll was her, and it's awful because you can see the similarity in the nose and the eyes, but he gave the doll these like really weird big juicy lips for some reason. It's very strange. I'm gonna have to close this tab and delete my browser history so I don't see any more of that.
I understand.
My husband's gonna open up my iPad or something and be like, what are you looking at? Oh god. I can see why you were saying that today was a little bit of a heavier and disturbing episode, because in many ways it was unreal in just horrific ways. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, but that's the end of our episode for today, so hope you enjoyed.
Yes, if you liked today's episode for some reason, you could leave us a you could leave us a review on wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars does help us reach out to new listeners, as always, and you know, we do appreciate it. Besides that, we have our website, which is www.wheelofcrime.com, if you want to check us out on there. We have our Patreon, Wheel of Crime Podcast at Patreon, if you want to donate to the show. We have our email, which is wheelofcrime@gmail.com, if you want to send us a message on there. We have our social media, which is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all at Wheel of Crime. And lastly, we do have our submissions still open and available for listener stories. So feel free to submit any and all spooky crime or spooky or crime. Yeah, I did say that. Spooky or crime related stories. We love them all.
Yes, we're going to be doing a summer listener story coming up in the next month or so. So get your stories ready, folks.
Oh, hell yeah. And yeah, that's about it.
That's it. That's all. We'll see you next week for another new episode. Okay, bye.
Bye.